Hello and welcome to the Flirt FM Community Radio Day Special 2018. Of course, it's the fourth annual Crail Community Radio Day, so if you don't know what Crail do and the fact that we're a member station, we'll be taking a quick look at the mission and objectives of Crail and telling you a bit more about some other members. We're also going to be hearing from some people around the country who are involved in community radio, and not least from Declan Gibbons, who's the chair of Crail, but he's also manager of Community Radio Kilkenny. We'll be talking to Cathy from Kinvara FM, Marish from Radio Nalifa in Dublin. We'll be hearing the National Student Radio Conference panel on community radio, and then finally Declan Gibbons will bring it back to specifically student community radio. We'll have new Irish music in between as well. First shout out and credit has to go to John Walsh, who did this show this time last year with me. We did the special together. He is the host of Wireless on Flirt FM on Mondays, an excellent radio show about radio, very meta. He's currently at the Transnational Radio Conference in Luxembourg. If you do want to keep up to date, you can follow Wireless on Flirt on Twitter for all of the deliciously nerdy photos that we've been really enjoying, and you can also listen back to his shows on Mixcloud as well. So he is the provider of all of this audio for today, and I'm the person who's stitching it together.
Happy National Community Radio Day. Today is the fourth National Community Radio Day, and this year Crail, the Community Radio Forum of Ireland, is using the occasion to launch a campaign to increase participation in community broadcasting around the country. Every week across Ireland, 2,000 community radio volunteers broadcast to some 170,000 people in 21 fully licensed stations and many more aspirant stations. The aim of the Community Speak campaign is to encourage more people to take an active part in broadcasting within and to their local communities, and to raise awareness of community radio as the third tier of broadcasting in Ireland. This status was recently recognised by the Oireachtas Joint Committee on Communications and will be reflected in the BAI's forthcoming broadcasting strategy. The campaign is being launched today in Athlone on Athlone Community Radio with a two-hour programme about the role of community radio in Ireland. The programme will recall the historic part which Athlone played in the evolution of radio broadcasting in Ireland. This dates back to 1933, when then Taoiseach Eamon de Valera opened what was described as the new high-powered RTE radio transmitting station, providing national broadcasting from the centre of Ireland. I hope that your community station will also broadcast some or all of this special programme to mark National Community Radio Day and encourage new volunteers. Our member stations are not in competition with one another, and both our voice and our network can grow stronger through cooperation. Our focus is to increase interest in radio broadcasting and to encourage more volunteers into broadcasting in all capacities, using the theme, Your Voice in Your Community. Community radio is not for profit. It is volunteer-led and driven, with the support of professional staff. It is not a competitor to the primary radio broadcasters, but is an additional service responding to the desire within communities to have their own resource to represent, speak for and to themselves, and to make the type of programmes which would not be possible on stations that must depend on commercial profitability to survive. Last year alone, community stations put over 100,000 local voices on air. The stations provide wide diversity in programme production and presentation, with news and current affairs and documentaries of community interest. We encourage writers and dramatists in the community, specifically include young people in broadcasting, discuss matters of community interest, and record and broadcast sports events. The Community Speak campaign is intended to increase interest in and participation in broadcasting and in community development, helping to build the communities that we serve. We can help in the development of future broadcasters, and we'd like to build relationships with the primary broadcasters. What we're initiating will, we hope, increase interest in radio broadcasting in all of its facets. Thanks for listening, and once again, happy National Community Radio Day.
To start off, a little bit about Crail. Crail is the Community Radio Forum of Ireland, and their mission is everybody's right to communicate and empowering that. Crail will empower and support community broadcasters nationwide to deliver a social benefit to their communities through active volunteerism, shared resources, good governance, partnership and networking. It's also called the Community Radio Forum of Ireland. It's the representative coordinating lobbying, training and support group for Irish community radio. So I suppose today's episode goes out to everybody involved in community radio, the 21 plus plus stations that are already up and running, the almost 30 aspirant stations that are running either temporary licences online or people that are just in the meeting stages as well. The 2,000 community radio volunteers, which is incredible. I know for a fact we've got 150 peak times in Flirt FM, and we couldn't be here without them. They are us. And then the 170,000 people that would listen in on a weekly basis to community radio across the country. So it's huge numbers. I'm actually just going to read out the entire list so you know the full-time stations that are on air right around the year. You've got Athlone Community Radio, Community Radio Castlebar, Community Radio Kilkenny City, Connemara Community Radio, Claremars Community Radio, Community Radio Yule, 103.2 Dublin City FM, Dublin South FM, Dundalk FM, Us, Flirt FM, Cork Life FM, Liffey Sound 96.4 in Dublin, Near 90 FM, that's in North Dublin, Phoenix FM, they're in Dublin 15, Radio and Liffey, the Irish language station for Dublin, we'll be hearing more from Wirish, their manager, later, Radio Kirkabashkin in Kilkee, Ross FM in Roscommon, Tipperary Midwest Radio, West Limerick 102, UCC 98.3 and Ward FM. Left the two greatest student stations that are our sister student stations for last there. Anyway, enough of that, we're going to move on to the first interview. We're going to hear from Cathy from Kinvara FM, one of the newer community radio stations in Ireland.
I think the reason it was necessary, or people thought it was necessary, John, was that there was a real need for addressing what's going on in the community that really isn't being covered by other, nor can it be, than the bigger stations. And it was there's a lot of people, a lot of diverse things going on in Kinvara, a lot of different groups in Kinvara, and it's great to have something that will address and will inform the members of the community of what's going on.
There's obviously a strong community spirit, though, in the town, if you're able to sustain the development of a radio station at this level.
There definitely is. There's Kinvara is an interesting place. There's a lot of people that have grown up there and that are very local to the area. And then there's a lot of people that are considered blow-ins, I suppose, like myself, that have moved there from all corners of the country and the world, really. There's a very diverse population in Kinvara, and as a result of that there's a huge variety of interests and things that are going on, from cultural things like there's big GAA and there's big soccer, hurling, there's a huge art community, there's lots of different things for kids, for older people, the ICA. There really is a lot going on, and I suppose there was a need to let people know what was going on in the community that wasn't really being covered in other media.
So do you think that there's a sense of that maybe Clare FM or Galway Bay FM or the two nearest stations to you, that they're not serving the local community, or do people expect that they'd be serving Kinvara in that way?
I don't think so. I think they're doing a great job and they're both great radio stations, but they can't really be all things to all people. They really have to keep a kind of a broader spectrum, and you know, they're doing a great job. But to get right down to the kind of the roots of a community, you kind of have to have something in the community that addresses the community itself.
So have you been on air then before now in terms of FM broadcasting, or has it all been online? This is the first time you've got a licence, isn't it?
It's our first licence. We did the training and everything as well, hoping to get the licence, and we were given the licence there recently, and we just launched it there at the Cruinn Mhad in August, so we're delighted now with that.
So previously it was simply online only and podcast, was it, as in terms of preparation for the station?
Exactly, yeah. We did podcasts, we did things like over the Cuckoo Festival and the Cruinn Mhad before, but they were purely internet broadcasts that were put up as podcasts on our website afterwards.
So how many volunteers roughly then do you think would be involved in Kinvara FM at this stage, or what would the core group consist of?
We have a lot of volunteers. I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but there are a number, and a key number of people that have put in a huge amount of work, I think, as is always the case in these setups. There's a lot of volunteers for different parts of it, from kind of the programming, to volunteers for, you know, doing the programs themselves, to also, you know, kind of do the financials, and then applications for licences and things as well. So there's a huge core of people working very hard in the background, and as well as that, like the technical element as well is a huge part of it. So we've got Jerry Wallace and James are very much involved in that, and they're fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah.
So to come back then to the volunteers, there's a wide variety of people there, different age groups, different styles of programmes.
There's a huge variety. There's people like Rose O'Connor. She has a great show and she talks, it's very local based. She talks to a lot of local people, musicians, things that are going on in the community. And then we have people like my son, Ari Fine, who has like punk and heavy rock, a show going on. My own one is Easy Listening. And then there's Scattered Showers with Eilish and Barry Kavanagh. And they have Scattered Showers, which is also very community based and historically based as well. So there's a really a fantastic range. Then John Hudson then does other kinds of like, you know, rock music and mixture of songs like that. So,
and you tap into the traditional music scene in Kinvara as well in the programming, because there would be, I think, a reputation of a good trad scene around the town.
There's a huge trad scene in Kinvara. It's I didn't mention it because I'm so used to it, I suppose. It's it's the trad is definitely addressed as well, especially around maybe the Cuckoo Festival as well. There's even more of a focus on it. But we have regular players at the Cruinny na Mod there. I had Eugene Lamb, who is also from North County Dublin, and he's living down here. He makes Illan pipes and is a fabulous Illan pipe player, and he was up on stage with me as well at the launch of it. So it's, yeah, there's a huge trad scene.
Of course, this is not your first involvement in radio. You've been involved in radio before, isn't that right, going back a little bit of time?
Yeah, I was one of the, I worked in pirate radio 100 years ago, like yourself.
So where did you work? What station were you in?
I worked in Sunshine Radio, 1982 to 1983, so that was great fun, lots of memories, yeah, some good, some dodgy.
And do you think that, anything that you learned in Sunshine Radio has come back to assist you now this time around as well?
Yeah, well, it's funny, everything has changed. We did a training over in Gort and like it's all kind of, you know, digital now. And like when I was working in radio, it was all like record players and things were on master tapes and lots of contraptions and stuff. But it's still the same thing. It's still somebody sitting behind a microphone with music and talking. It's just, I love the medium. And the other thing, John, that I love about it, especially in Kinvara, is that it's fantastic for older people too that are very much isolated, and it really kind of brings the community to them and it helps them feel a little, you know, less lonely.
And do you think that it's a little bit surprising maybe with all the competition in media now and all the digital craze and Spotify and so on, that is it surprising given all that radio has remained popular enough in your own location to set up a station like this?
I think radio is great. It's my favourite medium. It's you're hearing like it's people talking, it's very personal. If you're by yourself, I work from home, and it's very much like it's having company, it's almost like having friends. So I think radio is very important, and I think when it's community based it's even more important because it's really close to, literally very close to home.
So tell us about the 30-day license then. You're on air now with that, and when will you be broadcasting, and how can people listen to those 30 days?
Okay, so we're broadcasting now on a 30-day licence at weekends, and that starts at 11 o'clock on a Saturday morning, and it goes through then until Sunday evening. So it's 11 till 8 on Saturday and on Sunday. The bandwidth is 92.4 FM, and it's, so we're applying now for our next licence, and we're just hoping to have a continuous presence on air from now on.
And you're planning to go for another licence after this one expires, aren't you?
Yes, we're hoping to remain on the air and we're just going to keep on applying for more and more licences so that we have a continual presence on the radio, particularly at weekends.
And do you think that the aim is to set up a permanent radio station eventually?
I think, I don't know, I always think it's good to kind of like, you know, think big. I would personally... I feel that there is definitely a demand for it, there's an interest in it, and there's definitely a huge commitment from the members of the community in Kinvara to get involved, so I don't see why not.
And what's the feedback been like from other community groups and from people on the ground? Have you any way of finding out? It's obviously early days, but have you any way of assessing how people are listening or how they're enjoying the station or what kind of listenership there is?
Yeah, I suppose I do the farmer's market on a Friday, so you're bumping into people and people are giving you the feedback. And as well as that, you know, from a board level, people are talking about it, and, you know, and even at the station itself, the reaction has been great, and people on the street are out talking about it and wondering about getting involved. So I think the key message here as well is that we want more people to get involved, and especially younger people. So we're looking for volunteers all the time. There's lots of people our own age, but I think for the younger people to get involved, they kind of need an extra little bit of a push.
Absolutely. And are you in touch with schools about possibly having access programmes? Some of the community radio stations have transition year programmes, for instance, or sometimes Leaving Cert students are on air. So are you looking at that possibility?
Yeah, we're definitely looking at that, especially the TY students. It's a fabulous opportunity for them that really you wouldn't get in many other counties or in many other communities to be able to go in and get trained up in radio and have a little programme or to have a presence on air. So we're definitely going after that. Yeah.
Can I ask you a little bit about the training just before we finish up? And obviously this is a very important part. Getting a station on air depends on training because people need to have the skills. So what kind of training has it been? What kind of skills have people been given?
The training was done over in Gorsh by Tom Flanagan, and the course I did was City and Gills, and there's other training going on now. So the skills that people are being given is really broad ranging. It's from doing like working in audition, like Adobe Audition, to broadcasting skills, to putting news together, and to, you know, putting together playlists and, you know, creating your playlist and making sure everything is in MP3 and not other formats. So it's quite detailed. It's not Mickey Mouse. It's the real deal, and it's very professionally done by Tom Flanagan.
And do you think is media training important in the kind of age that we live in with all this talk about fake news and so on? Is it important that people know how to use the media and that maybe Community Radio can help people to understand some of those issues?
I think definitely training is very important, because there has to be a certain level of professionalism when you're broadcasting, and there has to be some kind of training given about what you can and you can't say on the air. You can't just come out with anything that you feel yourself. It has to be represented by both sides, and it's very important that people do know that before they go on the air.
So what opportunity finally then does Kinvara FM give to the town, do you think, and the outlying area?
I think Kinvara FM is a fantastic facility for everybody in Kinvara. It's great for every member of the community, and we're hoping that they'll all get involved. But it really gives something to the community that a lot of other communities don't have. It's people can listen to it to find out like what's going on in their immediate locality, and have lots to talk about. And it also, I know I said it before, it really addresses people that are lonely, like older people or people that are immobile. So I think that's it. It's just fantastic. I'm really encouraged by the reaction, and the commitment of the people in the background is unbelievable. Like, people are working through the night, unpaid, they're all volunteers, and it's a fabulous thing to be going on.
So that was Cathy from Kinvara FM. We're going to have an interview with Murish from Radio Na Lifa about the history of the country's only Irish language community of interest licensed station. They've just moved into new beautiful studios north of the river, moved from Merrion Square, and their new state-of-the-art facilities are very enviable, and they're celebrating 25 years on air this year as well.
Yeah, well, we're extremely proud of the new studios. It hasn't happened through accident. I suppose we've lobbied and advocated for Radio Na Lifa for coming up on 25 years now. We will be celebrating our 25th year on air next year, which is something which is also extremely exciting for us. I think it's difficult for some people to believe. But we certainly, in the last about 2 years in the lead up to the move from our old premises at 7 Merrion Square, we really lobbied hardly. We did a lot of lobbying to Fáil Na Gaeilge, who are our main funders, to really make the investment that was required to, I suppose, facilitate Radio Na Lifa going to the next level. And we hope that that's what's going to happen. We've achieved a lot over the last 25 years, but we were somewhat constrained by the previous facilities at Merrion Square, even though they were fantastic for 25 years. But it's time now, I suppose, to facilitate the growth of the station in terms of allowing more pre-recorded programmes to happen alongside live programming, also to allow us develop the recording studio side of the station, which allows us to generate some independent commercial income, which within the confines of us operating as a non-profit organisation is all ploughed back into the station. But it's great. We're really excited about it. I think we're probably the envy of most community radio stations, certainly in the country, and probably a few commercial stations as well.
And can you tell me a little bit about the contrast in the facilities that you have now compared to those in Merrion Square where you were for so long?
Sure. Well, in Merrion Square, the whole square, as a lot of your listeners might know, is composed of Georgian buildings. So they're protected structures, and it's a lovely area, beautiful park in front of the door to go walking in at lunchtime. While they are lovely buildings, they are old. When Radio Na Lifa was originally established in 93, we were basically given a space to build a studio within the building at 7 Merrion Square. However, that space in the building was never designed to be a radio studio. It probably wasn't even designed to be an office in the first place. It was probably a servant's living quarters or something to that effect. So it was never purpose-built. We were kind of shoehorned into a little space which, like I say, was never designed for the purposes which it ended up fulfilling, and it did us for quite a long time, and a lot of people will have a lot of happy memories from that space. But I suppose we did suffer from the biggest challenge was probably that we had really no proper office space. So what functioned as our office space was essentially a corridor leading from one end of the floor to the next. I myself, as manager, and my predecessors had our own manager's office, but that was it. So in our new facilities here, we have wonderful offices that are laid out to the, you know, the absolute highest standards of the modern era. And it's the same thing with the studios. They're purpose-built, and they've been built from scratch. So within the four walls of the building itself, which has been here for a long time in Amiens Street, within the space allocated to us for the studios, those walls have been built from scratch. Those studio windows, studio doors, everything has been very carefully designed and planned, really, to give us the best radio station that you could hope for.
And obviously, as you said, it's 25 years next year. Just starting in January will be your 25th anniversary. So what are your plans for the development of the station and indeed for the celebrations next year?
Yeah, well, it's actually in September that we'll actually be celebrating 25 years on air. Of course, the lead up to Radio Na Lifa going on air in 93 took quite a while, and I know that there had previously been a temporary broadcast in 1992, and I think there might have been there was sort of developmental work going on in the background for several years up to that. So the main big birthday celebration will be in September. As with a lot of community radio stations, we're still under a lot of pressure from day to day just to keep the station on air. So knowing what we're going to do in September is still a bit of a movable feast. But one thing which ties in nicely for us is that this year coming 2018 is also Bliain na Gaeilge. So it's the 125th anniversary of the foundation of Conradh na Gaeilge, or the Gaelic League. One of Conradh na Gaeilge's biggest projects to date is to make 2018 Bliain na Gaeilge the Year of the Irish Language. And it's just a nice coincidence that for Conradh's 125th anniversary, that ties in with Radio Na Lifa's 25th anniversary. So we'll be tying in on that. We hope to maybe carry out a few live co-broadcasts with Radio Fáilte in Belfast, who were established kind of on the Radio Na Lifa model, and also with Radio Na Dráth, who, as you know yourself, are an up-and-coming community station in Galway. I know they've had a lot of challenges to kind of get the station up and running, but we certainly really stand behind them, and we hope that we could maybe support them through some of these outside broadcasts and co-broadcasts that we'd like to undertake later in the year. We also hope to undertake an outside broadcast on the Liffey. So Radio Na Liffey is obviously named after the River Liffey on Liffey. And one of the first live outside broadcasts which the station ever did was on the Stena Sea Links, believe it or not, travelling from Holyhead back to Dublin. I don't think we'd be quite as courageous as that, but we'd like to certainly try our hands at another outside broadcast on the Liffey at some stage.
Very good. And looking back over a quarter of a century, what do you think are the main achievements of Radio Na Liffey? What difference has it made to radio, to the radio spectrum in the Dublin area?
Well, I think the main thing, it's probably stating the obvious, but it's made the Irish language audible in what could be considered a contemporary way. Previous to Radio Na Liffey, the only time that Irish would be heard on the airwaves was on Radio Na Gaeltachta, which, of course, is, as the name suggests, a service that's primarily geared towards the Gaeltacht. But it is a national service. It's on the national airwaves. But certainly when I was growing up, Radio Na Gaeltachta, even the main news headlines at the top of the hour might be advertising something about or sort of notifying the listener of a broken water mains in the local village, or that there's been a one car accident down the road in a village of 20 people. It's not to speak pejoratively of Radio Na Gaeltachta, but certainly a lot of that was irrelevant to me growing up. And I grew up in an Irish speaking household, and both of my parents were from the Gaeltacht, so we would have had the station on at home, but it certainly never spoke to me. And I think the difference that Radio Na Liffey has made in those 25 years is that there's been an entire new generation of Irish speakers growing up in Dublin, be they people who grew up with Irish at home, or a term that I don't know if you've coined yourself, but nuachantori, new speakers of the language, that they see there's nothing strange about hearing Dublin news, hearing international current affairs being discussed, hearing world music, hearing the top 10 charts, hearing all of this, basically anything that you would hear on any other radio station in the capital city, that you can hear it all through Irish Oscaiga as well. And I think that's, it may be the most obvious thing, but that's what Radio Na Liffey has done successfully over the last 25 years. As an aside, I suppose it's also trained some of the top broadcasting people in the country. Our most famous former student, if you like, is Sharon Niviolan, who, of course, started her broadcasting career in Radio Na Liffey. And there are many more besides. I think one of the one of our former broadcasters from the early years, who's certainly gained himself a very strong reputation in the last few years in the sphere of the English language, is Cormac O'Hara, who was first known, first known in Radio Na Liffey, but later in Radio Na Gaeltachta, where he would be one of their key presenters. And certainly in more recent years, I think most people who listen to RT Radio 1 would know him. From stepping in on various programmes for Sean O'Rourke and even on Morning Ireland and Drive Time, etc., and of course the Late Debate, and the list goes on. They're just two names to name but a few, but there's been a plethora of well-renowned and well-regarded broadcasters in the Irish broadcasting sphere who began in Radio Na Liffey.
But you've also been very innovative, because the music policy is very alternative, and in many ways you're filling a gap in Dublin that's there for this kind of alternative music as well. And in addition, you're doing it through Irish.
Yeah, certainly. I think certainly from the outset at the station, there was a very conscious effort made that there would be no musical boundaries on the station. At the time, even though it might sound ridiculous to a lot of listeners, previous to Radio Na Liffey, there was no Irish language radio station broadcasting that would also broadcast mainstream music with English language lyrics. So it was actually quite revolutionary for Radio an Liffey to take the decision, you know what, English language lyrics don't pose us a threat. We're happy to broadcast the same music, be it U2 or whatever. So we have everything from mainstream music to the more alternative side of things, which has always been there from the outset. And it is something which we're very proud of. We do find a lot of people just coincidentally, when you end up in a conversation telling them that you work in Radio an Liffey, and one of the things we hear so often is, oh, Radio an Liffey, it's a great station. I really love the music I hear on that. I don't always understand the Irish, but God, the music is great. And it's great that we have that reputation, especially, I suppose, not that we're looking for the approval of non-Irish speakers, but it's nice when you hear it from, if you like, the majority population, the majority English-speaking or solely English-speaking population. And I suppose now that the likes of Phantom FM has gone off air, I think we can probably rightfully say that we're really one of the only truly alternative voices to be heard on the FM airwaves in Dublin.
So that was Murray from Radio an Liffey, and I have to say Radio an Liffey are some heroes. They send us two shows every week, two excellent radio shows, Scríbhneoir in an Hour and Scoth na Seachtaine. So if you've been listening to Flirt FM over the last couple of years, you've definitely heard something from Radio an Liffey as well. Right, up next we have a National Student Radio Conference panel on community radio. This was chaired by John Walsh, the host of Wireless on Flirt FM, and it had contributors Brian Green of Radio.ie and Lynn Simpson from Phoenix FM as well.
So the next question is about your views on the current state of the Irish radio sector, including student stations. And Lynn, we were having a few interesting discussions last night because you have a lot of experience in the UK sector, and you said something that surprised me. You said, well, you think in many ways radio is in a better state of health and is more dynamic and more interesting in Ireland than it is in the UK. So can you tell us a little bit about that view?
Well, only having been in Ireland a year, I'm absolutely fascinated by the role that radio plays in everyday life. It seems to be integrated into the media consumption. People have the radio on, but not just the music wallpaper that seems to be the tradition in the UK. In Ireland, the talk radio seems to be celebrated. You're a nation of speakers. You're a nation that likes to get your opinions across. And I love that that has been transferred into radio, whether that's the mainstream radio, especially community radio. And I love that actually the student radio is quite social issue based. There seems to be a lot of young presenters coming through who have a lot to say and are actually using radio as a medium to actually get their points across. And that's, we were talking about this last night, that's the role of student radio in there, is to bring the young presenters through, but also for the campaigns, the social campaigns that they are, and that seems to be how it's being used in Ireland. And I love that, I think, was it, if I'm probably wrong here, but is it 82% of adults listen to radio every single day in Ireland? And I think that is absolutely amazing. The quality of programme and the passion that we have for radio over here outstrips anything in any country I've ever lived in.
Okay, Brian?
I'd probably be more down on the subject. And I think you can't tar everyone with the one brush, because there's many different elements and sectors to radio. But the ones that get the most attention are the commercial stations. And I think, and it's just my point of view, and I'd love to hear other people's points of view when we go out with the microphone to the floor, but I find that it's very stagnated. It's had a couple or more decades of being over-formatted and very controlled and very regulated, and I kind of wish for the days, and it's before I was born, but in 64 when Caroline revolutionised radio, in the early 80s in Dublin when the super pirates came and revolutionised radio. And they take it to a certain stage, but it's like radio now sounds like radio in 89 and 91 and 2001. And I'm wishing for something a little bit more progressive and developed in the commercial sector. I know I'm kind of harping on about them a bit much. There are other sectors who are much more progressive. I just feel that the one that gets the most attention is the one that I was giving more attention to. Sorry.
And why do you think that 82% or whatever still listen? If it's, I mean, there's obviously something they're doing right. If the listenership is so big,
Or do you think that we need to drill down more into the figures and look at different age cohorts? Or
I think 82% is 82% when over a quarter of a million people emigrated during the crash in 2009-2010. The percentage of people listening to radio went up 6 points because young people left the country. Old people, older people remained and stayed, and the percentage went up. I think percentages can hide the reality. That's not to say that Ireland and Flemish Belgium is the top countries in Europe listening to radio. It is strong here, but I do think that we also know what they are listening to, and much of it is sound the same as the next station in a similar market. And you know, if people are happy to listen to that, fine. But I don't think that the numbers game, which is what drives the rate cards and business side of radio, is the only metric to measure. And I'm not down on it's great that so many people listen to radio in Ireland, but also listen to what they are listening to. It's versions of Gay Byrne from 40 years ago being played out 40 years later, the same old.
Well, maybe that brings us on well to the next question then, which is about radio facing more competition than ever before, and the challenges of digital media, and how should the sector react to those challenges?
The fight is for the attention of people. And the
attention.
Yeah. And the commercial stations will do it from a brand-led perspective, that the more you know about them and who they are, and the more you're bought into their brand, the more you will listen to them. I think that if student radio and community radio is to get the respect to get that attention, I wouldn't say that it's demand-led, but if they're to have the attention got through respect, it is to become more relevant with their audience. And sometimes that means to leave the studio and get into the park and get into the street and get into the shopping centre and be there with the people. We had the most enormous protest in this country over water charges, and I saw community radio stations in some areas not get involved with mass protest right in front of their front door, and I was, you know, amazed that they didn't. They don't have to take sides. They don't have to come down on the side of the state or the side of the protesters, but to not get involved in it, I thought. And I mean, get involved with not from the confines and the comfort of your studio, but to get out there and have that debate and be part of mediating that debate to do what they're there to do in media.
Okay, Lynn?
I actually think it's really exciting what's happening with the, as you said, radio is formerly social sort of media of it. I think now it's great. No longer do we sit in isolation and wait for our listeners to come to us. We can go looking for our listeners. We can put the work that we do out there. It's not just that our programme and it's gone. Then you're the podcasting, there's a sharing of the parts onto different platforms. We were talking about that last night. So listeners in New York can listen back to something that's going out in Flirt FM. I think that's amazing. You can reach that wider audience, but you have to go out there and you have to be looking for them. So I think it's about that technology isn't going away. The competition isn't going away. It's about being that difference to commercial radio and marketing that. We are that difference. So it's about celebrating that and putting that out there. Technology is there, so why wouldn't you use it? Why wouldn't you use it to go out look for your listeners? Whether that is standing in the shopping centre handing out leaflets once a month, or whether that's going out and actually going into the forums, hooking up with other community stations throughout the world, sharing programmes. You know, we have that technology to do it. It's about how you use it now, and it's about reaching out to your audience rather than expecting them to come to you, because that just doesn't work anymore. It's not how it goes.
And do you think our community stations afraid of the competition in terms of technologies, or are they embracing them? From your own experience, what about Phoenix?
It's very mixed. We are quite a diverse community, and we're also one of the youngest communities in Ireland. So the people that come into our station are actually embracing the technology. I think from stations I've seen previously as well, I think it depends a lot on the age demographics of people that are in the community stations, the support that's there, the funding that's there, the money to embrace this new technology, but also training and the knowledge that's there. So it's about learning how to do these things. I mean, we had a lovely woman, Fiona Kelly, come and give us a talk on how to utilise Twitter. So we now have one of our lovely presenters, Jack, who's 75, who now tweets, or Twitters, as he likes to call it. But he now tweets about his show, the guests that are coming on. He is reaching out to his listeners. He's tagging people in it. This may seem like, to most people who are in 89, like nothing. For him, this has just opened up a whole new world and a whole new world of listeners. He's reaching out to them. So it's about facilitating that training and putting it in place so community radios, no matter what the age demographic is, can actually have the ability to do this.
Great, okay. So we move on now to questions about plurality and voices, and this is an issue that comes up a lot when we discuss the media in general. Is there enough plurality? Is there enough diversity in the radio sector? And this, of course, is linked to issues of ownership and control. I know you have strong views on this topic, Lynn, so I'll ask you to comment maybe on that first, and then we'll come to Brian.
The answer is no, and the answer is yes, depending on what sector you look at. We know the mainstream sector does not celebrate diversity. We can see that. You can go on and just look at it from a gender point of view, the number of women's voices on commercial radio. Look at the diversity. We're a diverse country, and that is not represented within our media. However, look further than that and look to the community stations, look to the student stations who are actively encouraging that, who are giving the opportunities that were out there. Last night we were having a conversation and one young gentleman said to us that perhaps, you know, the fact there's not women on the radio is the fact that it's not, they're not there, the talent pool is not there. So why isn't it? Why isn't the talent pool of women there to go on the air? I've only been in this country a year, but Irish women don't strike me as shy, retiring flowers. Irish women are the most opinionated, sassy, intelligent, argumentative women I have ever met, and I love it. It's absolutely brilliant. So why aren't there more of these women on air? Why aren't they more on the mainstream radio, having the discussions, having that debate?
What do you think yourself?
I think because it's traditionally, I think it goes back to we're talking about how radio has been and how it always has been. I think it's hard to break down those barriers. In the UK, as a presenter, you start, if the big time presenters, you start in Radio 1 when you're young and trendy. When you get a little bit older, you dip into Radio 2. And then when you're very sort of older, they chuck you into Radio 4. Or if you're quite trendy old, they put you into 6 Music. Here it seems to be we take a position and we are staying. You can't move us. We are staying there. There doesn't seem to be that natural progression. There doesn't seem to be that move. The dinosaurs take their place and they stay. And I'm not saying there shouldn't be a place for them on air, but there should be that natural progression of new presenters coming through. I listen to student radio. I listen to a lot of community radio. And I've heard amazing presenters, both male and female. But there should be those opportunities for these young people. It doesn't seem like commercial radios are dipping into that pool for recruitment. Radio 1 in the UK look towards student radio for their recruitment. A lot of their presenters have come through pirate radio, internet radio, and student radio, and that doesn't seem to be happening in Ireland as much.
So that was Brian Green of Radio.ie, Lynn Simpson from Phoenix FM, and chaired by John Walsh. Next up, and lastly, we're going to hear from Declan Gibbons, the chair of CRAIL, but specifically this time on student community radio.
I think the message was just really was to try and encourage people to take part and to, you know, to acknowledge student radio, because there's only 3 student stations that are part of CRAIL at the moment, but we know that student radio in this country is a much bigger network than that. It's not as big as it should be and hopefully can be, but I think to acknowledge it and to encourage it, and because I'd like to see them all as part of the family, and then maybe just, and I made a few comments, and you know, not necessarily meant to be controversial, but from because I've tended to run geography-based stations and, you know, geographical community stations, that's where my experience is. But from interacting over the years, you know, I've met a lot of people who are very, the people that are, I've met that are involved in student radio, including the likes of Flirt here and Wired and UCC 98.3 Cork Campus Radio. They're very passionate, they're very knowledgeable, they're very much more in tune with the changing developments technologically, and that's a constant thing, which is why I thought the discussion today was so important. And it's great that colleges support that and provide the stations, and they do. And they are a great opportunity for students to learn and for radio to grow. But I do feel that perhaps there is this sense that maybe, okay, we colleges maybe take the view, okay, well, we provided the station, now there, ye look after that. When I think the potential of student radio is much greater than that. You know, if an academic institution gets involved in a field, I think it can enrich it hugely. And so I could be wrong, but I feel that maybe at the moment colleges are facilitating student radio, but they're not nurturing it as much as they could be. And I'd like to see that. I'd like to see that grow.
Would you like to see more than three full-time student radio stations? As you say, we only have the three in Ireland. Is there not a strong case that every campus in the country should have its own full-time licensed radio station?
I think so. I see no reason whatsoever why there shouldn't be, because, you know, over the last 30 years, I suppose, there's been a huge growth in third-level activity and in colleges and in the populations in those colleges. And I don't think that college radio or student radio is a threat to, say, established FM and the rest of what you might call the tapestry of the radio landscape at the moment. I think absolutely. And, you know, for instance, the likes of Sligo IT, Carlow IT, they have maybe radio weeks, and they get involved in radio productions, but they've got to get involved with other stations to get their stuff broadcast, or to do it online, or get involved with the commercial sector to do that. Whereas I think, you know, why not? It's technology, and while it's expensive compared to most other things that colleges have to invest in infrastructure-wise, I don't think it's that expensive nowadays.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you now about your involvement in Community Radio Kilkenny City. So can I ask you to give us a little bit of background to the station? Because, of course, Kilkenny did have its own licensed radio station in the past, after 1989, when the sector was legalised.
Yeah, it had a commercial station for the county only, and it's still, the county has a commercial station now serving both Kilkenny and Carlow. And the co-op that runs this new community station actually held the commercial licence from 1989 to 2003 for the County of Kilkenny alone. And then the BCI, as it was then, the Broadcasting Commission of Ireland, now the BAI, decided to change mainly because I think Kildare was growing so much. Kildare and Carlow were together. They decided to give Kildare its own radio station and put Kilkenny and Carlow together. There was a competition, and the co-op that has now running the community radio lost out on that occasion, as did other private operators. All of the existing operators lost out. But in fairness, there's been a very strong tradition and spirit of community radio in Kilkenny for years and years. And the directors and volunteers stayed pushing to try and re-establish a community radio in Kilkenny, because I started as a volunteer in that station that you talk about, because while it had a commercial licence, 50% of its output was produced by volunteers. I would never have got into the radio sector without that opportunity. And that's why, as I said, I've worked for years in commercial radio as well. I don't think it's a case of either or. I think they're all part of the whole network, the landscape, if you like. But I wouldn't have got that opportunity if community radio didn't exist.
So tell us a little bit about Community Radio Kilkenny City then. What are the aims of the station? What does the average daytime programming sound like?
The aims are about inclusiveness, they're about diversity, they're about providing, also about entertainment as well, you know, because it's not all kind of grey or worthy, if you like. It's about something that people want to listen to too. I think that's really important, because whereas some people think, have a view that maybe something you should do it because it's worth doing, I think there's a validation in, you know, people actually listening, and that you'll be able to record in some way that you've got a listenership, because that's the ultimate validation, if you like. So we have a wide range of programming and of volunteers. We've approximately 80 volunteers, of whom 51 are presenting at the moment, 73 hours of broadcasting across all 7 days, and that's at the commencement of our 10-year licence. We'd like to think that, say, in 12 months' time, we'd have expanded that perhaps substantially, but at the moment we're I'm keen to put together a schedule that is has a level of quality that you'd want to listen to it, and that we can provide the resources, because there's only two full-time people in our station, so that we can provide the resources to support all those people that are making programmes, so they can put good programmes together. And then I hope in time that'll attract more people to come on board, and hopefully we can get more resources so that we can expand that to whatever, 80, 90, 100 hours.
So how many hours a day do you broadcast then, and what of those are live and pre-recorded and so on?
We've only 2 hours of pre-records or of repeats. There's no pre-records. 2 hours of repeat programming in the 73. Friday, Saturday and Sunday, 9 a.m. to midnight, that's a 15-hour day. And Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday from midday to 7 p.m. So obviously people would love us to be on longer, those Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, but it's a question, as I said, of we want to set a certain standard, and also we want it to be sustainable. We don't want to find that we can't find people to do programmes, and that basically, you know, you're just patching stuff together.
And you said there was a strong tradition of community radio in Kilkenny, in Kilkenny City. What do you attribute that to? Why is this so strong in this part of the country in particular?
Well, I'm not sure, but I think it was to do with maybe some of the individuals involved, some of them, well, one of them was a priest, but a number of people went about radio with missionary zeal around about 1979. And in fairness, I don't think RTE gets the credit that it perhaps deserves, because around about that time, or 78 maybe, the radio started in a lot of places in 79, RTE went around providing local radio in different areas, because I worked in Youghal in the past, and they did that there, they did it in Kilkenny, and that inspired and encouraged people to get involved in radio. Now, I don't think the RTE people at the time could have envisaged where that was going to lead, but I actually do think that was the genesis of it, and what you needed then were a few people who were really committed and really into it.
And apart from those core committed people, you haven't had an issue with getting volunteers. You said you have 80 people coming forward, so no issue with volunteering at the moment, because again, that's another complaint that you hear from some stations, that there aren't enough people coming forward with programme ideas and so on.
Yeah, it is a problem, and I mean, that's a kind of a multifaceted problem, if you like, because of the changes in legislation. It's making it maybe more difficult and more onerous for people to volunteer, sometimes people think, gee, you know, I couldn't be bothered, and that's understandable, because volunteering now, you've got to really commit to something, I think. But having said that, we haven't had a problem, and there is an appetite there, and I think that our group has tapped into a kind of a latent appetite for community radio, because maybe 5 or 6 years ago, when the economy was really bad, it was much easier, arguably, to get volunteers. Now I think people want to get involved in radio are people who are, you know, they're not just wanting to put in a few hours. They actually are interested in the project.
And how much do you think people are aware of the community radio ethos? Or is this something that you emphasise a lot in training or in induction for volunteers? If you take, for instance, a station like Near FM in Dublin, there's a very strong tradition of adherence to the AMARC charter of community radio ideals and the whole notion of democracy and participation and so on. Would that be something that would be important for you in Kilkenny as well?
Yeah, it's important to me personally. And our station, because of its history, would have a number of people who were involved in, you know, the old radio, and maybe, you know, they loved it for that and what it was. But I mean, the reality was, it was community radio at the time, albeit under a commercial station, under a commercial license. And I think it's really, really important, and that we challenge ourselves, that it is about diversity, inclusivity. It isn't just, say, the people that always had a programme do a programme. It's that new people come in and do a programme, that, and all the people that were there, that they encourage and pass on their knowledge as well. Like our oldest presenter is 80, and he's brilliant. He's an essential part of the fabric. We have people of various ages throughout. We have lots of new people that came in, and for instance, the over 55s project, which was run in conjunction with the CFI last year, We got a whole tranche of people out of that, and now there's a programme stream because of it. So I think it's hugely important, and I think it's going to be what makes the station continue to be relevant into the future.
Declan, thanks very much for taking the time to talk to us today. And that was Declan Gibbons, Chairman of CRAIL and Manager of Community Radio Kilkenny City.
We hope you enjoyed today's show very much. Happy Community Radio Day, and a big shout out to all of our other sister stations around the country. Of course, you can find more information, and there's a lovely detailed map of all of the community radio stations, aspirant, developing, online or full licensed radio stations around the country, available on crail.ie.
Make noise, yes, queen, no. girl, a good girl.